The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 13, 1996 in Sri Dhammayapur in India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 25, Verse 40.
Pitre Devashi Martyanam Bhutanam Atmanaschaha Kshemhyam Padanti Saranam Bhavesmin Yad Grihasrama Pitre Devashi Martyanam Bhutanam Atmanaschaha Kshemhyang Vadanti Saranam Bhavesmin Yad Grihasramaha. According to authorities, the household life is pleasing not only to oneself, but to all the forefathers, demigods, great sages, saintly persons, and everyone else. A householder life is thus beneficial. See, purport by Srila Prabhupada ki. According to the Vedic system, when one is born in this material world, he has many obligations. He has obligations to the demigods of the sun and moon, King Indra, Varuna, etc., because they are supplying the necessities of life. We receive heat, light, water, and all other natural amenities to the mercy of the demigods. We are also indebted to our forefathers who have given us these bodies, paternal property, intelligence, society, friendship, and love. Similarly, we are indebted to the general public for politics and sociology. We are also indebted to lower animals such as horses, cows, asses, dogs, and cats. In this way, as soon as one is born in this material world as a human being, he has also many obligations and is bound to repay all these obligations. If he does not repay them, he is further entangled in the process of birth and death. The Grihamedi, however, is overly addicted to material things, does not know that if he simply takes shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, he is immediately freed from all obligations to others. Unfortunately, a Grihamedi does not have any interest in Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaja says, Matirna Krishne Viparata Svatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Vratanam. Bhagavatam 7:5:30. A Griha Vrata is the same as a Grihamedi. One who takes sex life to be the supreme finds action in Krishna consciousness confusing, either due to his own personal consideration or due to his having taken instructions from others or conferring with them. He becomes addicted to sexual indulgence and cannot act in Krishna consciousness. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 40. Chapter 25, Canto 4 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of the characteristics of King Puranjana. Yesterday, the Bengali devotees didn't read text 39 because they were having a class on the Govardhan Puja, so we'll read also text 39 for the benefit of others who were not here yesterday. Dharmo hyatrata kamaucha prajanando mritang yasa Loka visoka viroja yan na kevalino vidu. Translation. The woman continued, in this material world, the householder's life brings all kinds of happiness and religion, economic development, sense gratification, and in the beginning of children, sons, and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifice which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. This woman is definitely promoting the Pravritti Mark. And the Puranjana, he's naturally very attracted to this beautiful woman. So here, presenting the case, why Puranjana should get married. It's good materially. Even at the end of the household life, one can get elevation to higher planets by performing sacrifice, or one can even achieve liberation. Good for the forefathers, as we read today. Actually, householder life, even Grihamedi life, is better than the things which are going on today, where people don't take any responsibility and they just have casual relationships going from one person to the next. In this way, it's not possible to have a world develop or improve itself. The real point is, Prabhupada, he describes in many places, there's two types of householder. There's the Grihamedi and there's the Grihastha. Grihamedi is where the sex life is the focal point, and the sexual attraction is the main purpose of the household life. When that happens, then of course, that's why there's so many divorces going on, because it's very hard to maintain that type of relationship for a long period of time. People are very restless, especially in the modern day. Previously, even the Grihamedis would stay together for their whole life, but now it seems exceedingly difficult for them. The Grihastha householder is working at a higher level, where they actually have their plan how to go through the material activities together, how to raise the children and have the family together, and how to serve Krishna together, how to please Guru and Krishna. So in that way, if one is regulated in their family life, the Prabhupada said they are all to be considered Grihastha Brahmacharis. They're also a kind of Brahmachari, because they're also practicing celibacy by regulating themselves. So this is a very important thing to understand, because in this day and age, most of the people around the world certainly not going to be able to practice the strict form of sannyas and brahmachari for their whole life. Only certain rare individuals are able to maintain that vow, especially in the Western world, where the mixing between the opposite sexes is so common that it's very difficult to maintain oneself in a renounced order. Even stalwarts on the spiritual path in a modern ISKCON have suffered from this problem. So ISKCON today, the biggest topic which is on our agenda is the importance of the family. Many of that we've been concentrating a lot on brahmacharis and sannyasis all these years, and we haven't given enough focus on the importance of the householders and the family. So here in Mayapur, we do have a large number of brahmacharis, and they're going to have to tolerate that in the next year or so. There's going to be a lot of discussion about Grihastha Ashram amongst the leaders, because everybody is very concerned about the future, which is mainly around the world. The vast majority of devotees are householders. How to see that their children in the future can become good devotees. Some of them can also become are brahmacharis, at least for some time, and so on. How that we can actually have a society where everybody is able to develop fully up to their potential Krishna consciousness. So we hadn't been concentrating an awful lot on the householder ashram. I don't know if we've been concentrating in any ashram really, but the householders feel they haven't gotten the attention, and so that's going to be the focus for the next GBC meeting, in fact, to a large degree, and maybe for some time to come. The idea is that just as a king or a kshatriya is to protect, so in the society, we don't have any kshatriyas, I mean, in our general human society today. It's a demon crazy or democracy. And so people generally don't get too much protection. Whatever protection is afforded through the laws and then the police, but there's so much corruption in many parts of the world that one doesn't get always really that kind of protection. And this sifts down to the whole society. Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said we should do things that come naturally to us in the beginning. The Nectar Devotion explains how in our conditioned state our connection with Krishna is, or in the beginning of our spiritual life, our Krishna consciousness, the connection is through the devotional service. And in the liberated state, it's through our direct relationship with Krishna in accordance to our rasa. So, just like yesterday we observed the pastimes of Govardhan Puja. Now the Brajavasis, they're not doing any kind of regulative devotional service for Krishna as such, although they're observing all their household duties. But their connection with Krishna is direct. Their love for Krishna is natural and spontaneous. And so in the liberated stage, one is simply naturally engaged in Krishna service. When Lord Chaitanya was here in Navadvipa, people didn't know that he is God, but they loved him anyway. That's the difference between, say, the Narayana worship, where one worships Narayana, but he knows that Narayana is God. The worship of Krishna, one does not think that Krishna is God, but thinks that just they love, or even if they heard that he's empowered by God or he's something not different than God. It's not the reason why they're serving Krishna. They serve Krishna because they love Krishna. So the Brajavasis, they naturally, for 7 days when Krishna was lifting the Govardhan hill, they were just looking at Krishna, and just by looking at Krishna, they had no hunger, no thirst, no misery. Simply by looking at Krishna's lotus feet, lotus face, all of their necessities were being met. And Krishna, he said, he was also very happy to look at his devotees. He also wasn't feeling any hunger. Of course, he's Atmarama, he doesn't have to be, but he wasn't also. He was just quite happy to look at his devotees for 1 week. Normally, these clouds that Indra uses are for destroying the world. We know how an ordinary rain can cause a tremendous flooding here in Mayapur. What to speak of the Samvartaka clouds? So much water was being rained on Vrindavan that it was coming down like a wall of water. A wall of water just. It would have flooded the whole Mathura district very quickly. But by Krishna's mystic power, no sooner did the water hit the ground than it evaporated. It was gone. You might wonder, why is it that it didn't flood? They are under the hill, but why the water would accumulate and it would still flood them?
Because all around it was water. But Krishna had the water dissipate very quickly. So in spite of pouring unlimited water, the water that could fill up the whole planet, the whole universe, nothing was really happening. When Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill, there were so many deers and other animals. When all the thunderbolts were hitting Govardhan, these thunderbolts can even crack mountains. But Govardhan, the thunderbolt felt like someone throwing a flower gun. Sometimes if we're hit with a flower, it doesn't hurt anything, it just bounces off. In this way, sometimes even Govardhan was not aware that the thunderbolts were hitting him. So eventually Indra figured out that something is happening in Vraja, and that he had considered Krishna to be Martya, to be a mortal. Prabhupada explained up here on the roof in Mayapur, we were looking down, sometime in Mayapur there are so many ants moving their eggs from one place to the next. Like that, the ants were swarming. And we were looking down at the ants, and the Prabhupada said, we look down at the ants and we think that how insignificant these creatures are. They only live for a few days. They're so small. But just like we are looking down upon them, there are higher living entities in the universe that look down upon the human beings and consider how insignificant we are. How our civilizations are lasting for so little time. How our lifespan is so small. And they look down upon us in the same way. For the residents in the higher planets, one of our years is one of their days and nights. It goes, so you can imagine how long they live. 100 of our years is for them 3 months. So we're something like, for them, maybe even a mouse lives longer than we do. We don't consider mice, I don't know exactly which animal lives for 3 months. We have any biologists here? Which particular coaches? I don't know. Maybe a cockroach?
Poka.
Some kind of bug, Some poka. Tablet from South Dania. Expert on bugs. He's doing all investigating the microorganisms in our water. So we are very insignificant in this world. In fact, the whole scientists are now trying to figure out where we all come from. But they don't understand that we actually were sent here from another planet. We are descendants from Manu, and Manu was sent here by Brahma from another planet, along with the Sanskrit language. Sanskrit is not something that evolved 3,000 years ago, as the way they speculate, nor did the human beings evolve a few thousand years ago. That's why they can't find a missing link, because we don't come from this planet. We are colonized here. So the human form of life, however, it gives us an opportunity, even though we're very significant compared to the devas, gives us an opportunity to serve Krishna. So just like the Vrajavasis, they were serving Krishna in Vrindavan. They're all liberated souls. But as far as Indra was concerned, he thought these are just ordinary cowherd boys and this is Krishna. One might say, how is it that Krishna was mistaken? But in India, everybody, how many Krishnas are there in Mayapur village? You'll find, Hare Krishna Mandal, and you'll find Gopal Ghosh, and you'll find, there's so many Gopals and Krishnas and Govindas in the village. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So like that, Indra, this was, one of those cowherd boy Krishnas that are always in the village. Not the Krishna. But then he figured out that actually Krishna, the original Krishna, was there. So the Govardhan Lila is also important for us in Mayapur, because afterwards, when, you know, today is like the day after, you can say, after the Lila was over, Indra came and surrendered to Lord Krishna and begged for his forgiveness. So Krishna was very merciful. Krishna could have completely smashed Indra. If Krishna wanted to, he could have said, well, this Indra is getting heavy against me. I'm just going to turn him into ashes. But Krishna doesn't do that. He's very merciful. Krishna knew that Indra is also my devotee. But he's become a become too proud. So if I cut down his pride, then automatically, because he's at heart, he's a good person, he's a good devotee, just he's become a little puffed up now, then he will he'll mellow out, he'll be okay. So then Krishna manifests his pastime by lifting the Govardhan hill, by which he pleases all the residents of Vrindavan. He shows everyone his transcendental potency. He cuts down the pride of Indra and brings him back in the track. And this way, so many pastimes are happening through one pastime. In fact, there are thousands and thousands of details mentioned by different Puranas and different acharyas about this one pastime, that there's practically no end. The people all over India, all the Hindus, they know very well about the Govardhan Lila. This is a very major pastime of the Lord. In one sense, you see, if someone lifts up a hill, you're looking at all the roots hanging down and things, you know, you might feel fearful whether I should go under that hill. Whatever falls, whatever slips from Krishna's hand, you know, I mean, what if the hill breaks in two pieces and we all get crushed? One might feel all kinds of hesitation. So what the devotees of Krishna did by going under, they also completely took their confidence in Krishna. And if Krishna slipped, they would all be finished. So they're also completely surrendering to Krishna. They're completely depending on Krishna's power. And that's one of the aspects of devotional service, that we should totally surrender to Krishna. We should depend upon Krishna completely and not have any other shelter. So the residents of Vrindavan stopped worshipping the devas and simply worshipped Krishna. Even the deva got angry and wanted to punish them for giving up his worship. Krishna protected all of them. So after that pastime happened, Indra surrendered, then we know that the Surabhi cow came and sprayed Krishna with her milk. And Aravat, Aravat, the elephant of Indra, what's the correct pronunciation? Oiravat. Oiravat was spraying water on Indra from the Jamuna. Afterwards, the Surabhi cow came here to Surabhi Kunja, just in Godrupli. And there the Surabhi cow of Krishna's Lila is eternally residing. We're not able to see her with the mundane eyes because she's a transcendental Surabhi cow from the spiritual world. But she is there, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur could see her. And when we go there, we can get her blessings. It's very close. The Gurukul is just always looking across at the Surabhi Kunja. And that's where the Navahata was headquartered by Lord Nityananda. So it's an important pastime for the devotees. We go every year to Surabhi Kunja and our parikramas. So that Leela is also connected with this pastime of Govardhan Leela. The whole month of Kartika is a big opportunity for householders and for celibates and for hermits and for ascetics and for all kinds of devotees to perform their spiritual activities in the month of Damodar and come close to Krishna. This is a special month. By performing devotional service in this month, the devotees become close to Krishna. They're not. Other months may give liberation, they may be very dear to Lord Vishnu, but this month of Damodar is especially the month that brings us close to Krishna. This is the month of remembering Krishna's pastimes, his lila, as a cowherd boy, when he was tied by Mother Yasoda around the waist, showing how Krishna can only be tied by pure love, not by any material means. Also, this is the time when we have our Govardhan Puja, where Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. Many different pastimes and the festivals occur during the month of Ramadan. Many acharyas have left the planet in this month. And tomorrow our founder acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's Tirubhad Mutsav is going to be celebrated here. So Prabhupada ki. This festival was very dear. Prabhupada would come to Vrindavan usually. Once he came also to Mayapur, but usually come to Vrindavan in the month of Kartik. Even this is the month also recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, good for doing Navadvip Parikrama. Maybe in the future we'll organize another Navadvip Parikrama. This is it's not too cold and it's not too hot. It's a good month for walking around the nine islands of Navadvipdham. Just like they have Rajmandal Parikrama this month, you can have another Navadvip Parikrama for people that come to India this time. So, even Krishna told Satyabhama that she became his queen because in her previous life, she observed the Damodar Vrata very carefully, and she observed all her Ekadasi vows. Because of these two vows, of Ekadasi and Damodar Vrata, she could become his queen. So, it's very effective to get close to Krishna. How much closer can you get to Krishna? The history how the Damodar, the month of Kartika, it became dear to Lord Vishnu is also mentioned in the Puranas that during the time of earlier period in this universe, before the Ganges came down into the world, into this world, into from the heavenly planets, or orbit to them from the heavenly planets. At that time, there was a demon born of the ocean called Shankarasura. And that demon did tapasya and got the blessings from Brahma, making him invulnerable to the control of the devas. But then he wanted to kill the devas, but the devas hid in the Mount Meru. And he was looking everywhere for the devas and couldn't find them. So then he decided that he will steal the Vedas. And if he steals the Vedas, then his strategy was that will automatically cause the devas to be as good as dead. Because without the Vedic knowledge, they're useless. They'll die off. So he went to Satyaloka to get the personified Vedas, but when they saw him coming, they ran, and they went into the ocean and dissolved themselves. So they couldn't, and he went into the ocean looking for them, but they had dispersed themselves in the ocean water. So he couldn't find them. While Shankarasura was looking for the Vedas, Lord Brahma and the Devas, they came out from hiding, and went to the side of the Melk Ocean and began to chant and dance because the Lord was asleep. This is the time when Lord Vishnu is asleep. So they didn't want to wake him up rudely, maybe be angry with them, so they thought the best way to wake him up is that we all sing and dance and chant his holy name. So they began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Woke up and saw all the devas singing and dancing, chanting Hare Krishna, he became very happy. So this is the happiest day of my life. And that time was in the month of Kartika or Dabadar, and it was also the day of Ekadasi. So from that time, Ekadasi became his favorite day and Kartika became his dear month. As anyone who sings and chants in front of the deities, offers me lambs, performs the vratas, and this month chants my holy names, they become very close to me. Even by seeing them, people get free from sins. Just seeing such people who observe this vrata, what to speak of those who observe it. So, whatever you have in your mind, you also be fulfilled. He gave orders to the different devas that all kinds of karmakanda results be given to anyone who observed this vrata as well, and that they come to him in the end. So then the Lord, they wanted that the Sankasura be taken care of, so Kasyapa Muni was told to hold some water in his hand. A little teeny fish appeared in the hand, and the fish got bigger and bigger. It was too big for it to fit in his hand. He put it in a well. It got too big for the well. He put it in a pond. It got too big for the pond. Finally put it in the ocean. And it became a gigantic matsya. And then the Sankasura saw the matsya, and they had a big fight. And Sankasura was liberated. And then Matsya Avatar gave the different Vedas extracted from the water, gave to Lord Brahma, who in turn handed over to different rishis, and those rishis then became famous as being responsible for the different branches of the Vedic knowledge. And then Brahma went to Prayag and performed some big sacrifice for the purification of the universe, and that's all there is. So, month of Damodar is very dear to the Lord, but a special quality is it's the month where we come closer to Krishna. Which is why it's so important for the Krishna devotees. Because every Krishna devotee wants to get close to Krishna, dear to Krishna. So Krishna is pleased by observing this vrata, and the devotees do it to please Krishna. So, after the Govardhan pastime, Sukadeva Goswami, he composed this beautiful verse summarizing the whole pastime. 10th canto, 26th chapter, 25th verse. Deve varshati jagya viplava rusha vajransa varsha nilai siddhat pala pasustriyatma saranam vishwanu kampyutsyaya utpatyaika karena sailama balo lilo chilindhan yatha Bhibhrat Goshtam Apan Mahendra Madhavit Priyana Indra Gavan. Translation. Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokula, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, when Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. In this way, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. Giridhari Madhavaki Jai Gopi Madhavaki. Any questions? Yes?
The word has come that it's like not small. The time that big mountain is small.
It's as Kali Yuga is progressing, it's gradually sinking into the earth. At the end of the 10,000, after the 10,000 years of the Sankirtan movement are over, then Govardhan will also disappear in the earth. So it was even bigger 5,000 years ago. When Govardhan was held by Krishna, it became ecstatic and became even bigger.
Other question? Maharaj, comment?
By Krishna appeared by the roots of his mother. All the difficult people of do not get killed on that way. Also, when the difficult people of Sudasada said, they were told in their answer to the Akhil Vrindavan.
They were told that in the dynasty of the Rishis, the jagrat is different from. Good question. How is it Indra didn't know that that was Krishna? Obviously, Indra didn't have a full idea about who Krishna was. Actually, it wasn't all the devas who prayed for Krishna to come, it was the Mother Earth went to pray. Mother Earth was being burdened by so many demons, so many armies. I can't remember whether all the devas were involved in that also. See, the member was mainly was the earth. Was concerned. Obviously, there's a communication gap there between Indra and who actually Krishna is. It's not so bewildering. Even today, most people think that Narayana is God, and Indra and that Krishna is some kind of empowered incarnation or Leela avatar or something. Something maybe like a partial, not fully Narayana, something like Narayana. Many people think like that because they don't know the science of avatars, they don't really know what the potency of an avatar is. And the Brahma Samhita explains how even avatars all have the same potency as the Lord, like one candle lighting another. Basically, they have a non-different potency. But they don't understand that Krishna is actually the original. And that Narayana is expansion of Krishna. This is explained in the Bhagavad. Krishna is still Bhagavan Swayam. But it's quite common that people don't understand this. You look at any dictionary and it says Krishna is the eighth avatar. I would say 99% of all Hindus think that, or I don't know, 90%+ think that Narayana is the supreme, and Krishna is something coming from Narayana. Very few have understood that Krishna is the supreme, and Narayana and Rama and everyone is coming from Krishna. So Indra knows about Vishnu, but beyond Vishnu, who's the top, who's Narayana, what's the relation between Krishna and Narayana, who Krishna is, to what extent he takes Krishna to be an ordinary person. If we just see the Leela, it seems that he doesn't even know that Krishna is Krishna at all. Whether he knew that Krishna was something special is an indicator. When Krishna was taken over from Kamsa's prison to Gokula, then maybe there was some kind of a gap, or just the Indra was covered over by the Leela potency to create this Leela, and he forgot. And there could be many explanations, but I don't know the exact, that we'd have to read some commentary from the Acharyas. I read the whole Leela this morning again. but I didn't see any specific explanation on that point. We do know that the devas get bewildered. They're not God. They have good hearts and they're sattvic by nature, but they sometimes get bewildered. What was the exact nature of Indra's bewilderment is something we had to research a little more. But he was bewildered, that's for sure. And Krishna cut down his pride, whether he thought, well, Krishna is something special, and then well, why is he cutting into my sacrifice? Or whether he didn't have any idea about Krishna. It's not that clearly indicated. But to some degree he was bewildered, that's for sure. What this shows us is the devas are not absolute, they're not the super soul, they don't know everything, they're just higher living entities. They have got more knowledge than we do, but they don't have absolute knowledge. Beyond the universe, they don't know what's going on, even beyond. Indra only knows what's going on in the lower three planetary system, Bhuva Swa. He doesn't even know exactly what's going on, Janaloka, the Tapaloka, the Mahaloka, Mahajanatapa, or to speak of Satyaloka. These are beyond his purview. What to speak of Kailash, or what to speak of the spiritual world. So we shouldn't put too much on Indra. He only has a limited resource of knowledge. He's also dependent on Vedic wisdom, and he's dependent on his guru, and he's dependent on the same kind of information that we are also dependent upon. The Prabhupada said that in the heavenly planets, they have bigger Bhagavatams than we do. Still, he has to understand it. So these things can happen. It mentions that Krishna creates this pastime, even puts his devotees in difficulty, because just like if someone's very hungry, then when you have a big feast, it tastes better. Sometimes if you already had a big feast and then you go and someone offers you some more food, even if it's your favorite food, you know, pizza or whatever, favorite food, some nice, you know, panta bhat or something. You know, whatever your favorite might happen to be then. But if you just had a big feast, you become very detached. Oh no, it's okay. Already filled up. So, to make one hungrier for Krishna's mercy,